Welcome to Read It Reddit. This will be an extra long episode, so please try to fill out the form in the description, so we could make this podcast better for you. We will be reading from r/todayifuckedup. Our first post is by Crossrack. I was reading this Tifu post about a mother, who told her 4-year-old, that her hero Bob Ross is dead. One part got me in a fit and naturally my girlfriend asked me what made me laugh. So I started explaining the story in short. As soon as I told her, the kid had to cry, because she had just been told Bob was dead, all color left her face. With tears in her eyes and a pouting lip, she asked me if I was serious. I explained to her that Bob Ross had in fact died in 1995, showing her the Wikipedia page to corroborate it. My girlfriend is up there on the cries because swans can be gay spectrum, so surprising her with this fact was not a smart move. The weeping waned away, but the sad and defeated mood stayed, and now I'm on my way to pick up a bottle of wine and a tub of ice cream, so we can enjoy that during a Bob Ross paint along. I guess it'll be a watercolor made with tears. Thanks, /you/GaryOakTL, Dr. Girlfriend didn't know Ross was dead. Now she does. Our next post is by Bouchy_1856. My wife has a history of startling slash scaring me easily due to me being deaf in one ear from tinnitus, MORP, which has dramatically decreased my situational awareness. She finds it hilarious, and I've grown to tolerate it cause of love and all. I decided my time for revenge had come. Cut to dinner time, about to boil a box of rigatoni pasta, when the inspiration hits me from a video on social media I saw. I hide a piece of that rigatoni between my teeth, and make my way into the living room, where my wife was relaxing on the couch after a long day of being a nurse. "Hey sweetheart, do you mind rubbing my neck? I feel like I have a kink in it or something," I ask her. At this point I can barely contain my excitement for this amazing prank as she happily begins massaging my neck for me. After 30 to 45 seconds, I then bite down hard on that piece of uncooked rigatoni which released a sickening yet satisfying crunch sound. I give a little ow sound and immediately go limp, falling face first into the couch. Now my wife is mostly a calm non-emotional type person, but her visceral reaction of terror and worry and panic that came flooding out of her, while she started to shake my limp body, and began to check my vitals made me feel guilt I've never felt before. After only a short time I give up on the ruse, and show her it was just pasta. To say she was livid is an understatement. Been sleeping on the couch ever since. Worth it TL, doctor, I revenge pranked my wife, by making her think she killed me. Our next post is by Anon66Mao. Okay, this literally happened this morning and I'm mortified. Last week I booked a flight to see my boyfriend who lives 3 hours away. I don't drive at the moment, so I decided to take a flight as it's only 40 minutes or so, and it was only 15 euros. We haven't seen each other for 3 months because of COVID, so we were both very excited. Now, to spice things up a little, I decided I will wear lingerie under my regular clothes, as he lives only 10 minutes away from the airport, and I thought I could surprise him straight away. I also decided to spice things up a little, and wear a butt plug, not even thinking about it, so I put it in, right before leaving for the airport. I'm gonna spare you the details, but it's a small one, so easy to go along your day with. Now, I get to the airport, and while I'm going through the security the things beeps, which isn't a surprise, since I'm wearing light jewelry, so I didn't think much of it. The woman tells me to step aside, and she's just checking my pockets, etc. I take off all my jewelry and try again, but the thing is still beeping, and now, I'm only wearing sweatpants, a hoodie, and lingerie with no extra details. So I'm standing there, when the woman tells me to go on to an expectation into one of those machine x-ray type things, when to my horror I remember I'm wearing a butt plug with a huge jewel. Which I completely forgot about. At this stage I'm mortified, and tell the woman what's going on. Luckily she just laughed it off, and let me go. Point, I have never been this embarrassed. TL, doctor, I wore a butt plug to the airport and got stopped. Edit, for everyone asking how I cold forgotten it there. It's not that I forgot, that it was there, or I didn't feel it was still there. I just got used to the feeling and my mind wasn't on that when I was entering the security. Our next post is by Sbuck23. A couple of things worth knowing before we continue. My partner is a farmer and we get up at 4 a.m. every morning. We also live in an old wood house up a mountain. Okay, so this happened this me this morning. We woke up as usual, and I went to put on the coffee machine, which we set up the night before, because 4 a.m. is a ridiculous time to try and do anything. While the coffee was brewing, I absentmindedly began to clear the sink from the night before. We are pretty lazy at night, so all the dishes etc. just get soaked. So in my 4 a.m. haze, I'm fishing about in the sink trying to clear out the rice from yesterday's meal, so the water will go down. I grab what I assume to be a tea bag and go to put it in the bin. But of course, before I can do that, I have to squeeze the liquid out as I don't want shitty water in the bottom of the bin. Here's the fuck up in case you didn't see it coming. The tea bag is a dead mouse that has drowned overnight and become waterlogged and swollen. I squeeze the mouse and it explodes, covering my face with its awful pink water slash viscera. No idea why my mouth was open at the time, apart from it was 4 a.m. and I was probably mouth breathing and half asleep still. It tastes like pennies and sadness. I may never be the same again. TL, doctor, I exploded a mouse thinking it was a tea bag and drank its divine juices, which I assume shot out of its waterlogged anus. Edit, thanks to everyone contacting me to tell me to seek medical advice. I haven't have a follow-up appointment next week. I'm glad my fuck up could turn so many stomachs. Our next post is by Gary Oak. Obligatory, this was 2 years ago. My daughter was 4 at the time. My daughter's love of Bob Ross started in the womb. I had terrible insomnia throughout my pregnancy, and I would listen to Bob Ross painting tutorials each night to fall asleep. At the time I thought it helped me sleep, because it was essentially soothing background noise, but recently I've learned about ASMR, and I realize that I'm super susceptible to certain sounds, such as quiet calm voices, and the scratching of paintbrushes and tools. Anyways, after my daughter was born, I continued to have a hard time sleeping, this time because of a crying and demanding baby. So every night, I'd lay down in my bed with her next to me in the bassinet, and I'd play Bob Ross. As my daughter got older, she began to demand Bob Ross. We'd read a board book or two before bed, and then we'd watch one half-hour tutorial. By the end of these videos, my daughter, and often myself, would be sound asleep. 4 years this routine has continued. It continued through my second pregnancy, and now with my second daughter as well. We watch Bob Ross every single night. We've seen each and every Joy of Painting tutorial, all 403 episodes, multiple times. Some nights I might think my kids have fallen asleep during book time. We are past board books and onto chapter books now. But when I close the book and prepare to sneak out of their room, inevitably one or both of them chirps up, "Mama, what about Bob Ross?" And so we watch Bob Ross. Which brings me to the fateful day. After watching a particularly compelling episode of The Joy of Painting, my 4-year-old sighed happily and said, "Mama, one day I'd like to go visit Bob Ross. Where does he live again?" To which I replied, "Muncie, Indiana, remember?" "Oh yes," she said, recalling that Bob mentions Muncie frequently. And then, and to this day I still don't entirely know why, I said these words, "But honey, I have to tell you something. Bob Ross died a long time ago. We might be able to visit Muncie, but won't be able to meet Bob." And my daughter broke down completely. Now, like most parents, I've seen my kids cry. I've seen all their cries, when they are angry, hungry, scared, bored, whining, manipulating, you name it. But I had never heard her cry like this. She was completely and utterly bereft. She was wailing and punching herself in the chest and thighs while giant strangled sobs burst from her lungs. The news that her hero was dead just destroyed her. She cried for a solid 20 minutes. My husband, helpfully, shouted up from the main floor of the house, "What the hell made you think that would be a good idea? Seriously, what possessed you to tell her that?" and I couldn't really answer, except that I had felt in that moment that I shouldn't lie to her. That I should tell her the truth about Bob Ross, and that he wasn't alive anymore. After she stopped crying, we talked a lot about Bob Ross, how he died, and about his legacy. I told her about how Bob Ross gave a very important gift to the world, and that his own love of painting had inspired so many artists and people in every country. Even as a 4-year-old with limited understanding of life and death, she seemed to find some solace in that 1.5 years later she still brings up how Bob Ross made a lot of people happy, and how he makes her happy still. So that's my tifu. My lovely 5.5 and 3-year-old daughters will surely be demanding Bob Ross tonight, and as always I will oblige them. TL, doctor, my young daughter loves Bob Ross. I told her that he was dead. Edit, oh my goodness, this blew up. I checked in right before I put my kids to bed, and my eldest and I sat up and read some of the comments together. She particularly loved the Bob Ross Lego figurine someone shared. She is a big Lego fan, and thought one user's story about their mom becoming a professional painter after watching Bob Ross tutorials was really nice. I also read the post itself to my daughter, and she smiled and chuckled along. When it got to the part where her dad questioned my general parenting abilities, she stopped to ask me, "Why would dad say that to you?" And when I replied, "Well, he thought I should've protected your feelings," she said rather matter-of-factly, "You shouldn't lie to children." So I guess she agrees with my approach. Several people asked where you can find all the Bob Ross episodes, and the answer is YouTube. Check out the Bob Ross channel. Tonight my girls and I watched this one. And finally, to answer the question of did I know that it was the 25th anniversary of Bob Ross' death today? No, I did not. That's honestly blowing my mind a little bit, because I've been thinking about making this tifu post for a few weeks, and it just so happens I finally sat down today and wrote it up. I couldn't remember the exact year he died until I looked it up on his wiki entry today, and I totally glossed over the specific date. July 4th. What a weird coincidence. Second update, holy smokes. Almost 26,000 upvotes. I'm so pleased my foo resonated with so many. Thanks to the folks who gave me flair and gold, I've never made a post on Reddit that attracted much attention, haha. I seriously enjoyed all the funny, heartbreaking, and relatable stories of the first time you experienced your own loss of a hero: Elvis, Michael Jackson, members of the Beatles, MLK, Mr. Rogers. Thank you for your comments and I'll continue to read them all. And finally, thanks to everyone who shared their own stories of Bob Ross and the influence he had on their lives. It's awesome that he continues to inspire so many people with his art tutorials, love of animals and nature, life advice and kindness 25 years after his death. The world is truly a better place because of him. If anyone is looking for a good watch, The Happy Painter is on YouTube, as is this gem, Where Are All the Bob Ross Paintings? Our next post is by Stygian_Abyss_. This happened yesterday, but I will be living with the emotional scar for the rest of my life, and the physical scar for a few more days. As a late, but generous birthday gift, I bought my girlfriend her first dildo, a whopping 8-incher. It arrived earlier in the day, before the time for appropriate shenanigans, so as soon as we opened it, we decided to proceed with some more SFW fun. We aren't peasants, so we got a suction dildo, so of course we did what any aristocrat would do, and stuck it on any available surface. This started harmlessly with the furniture, the walls, and whatever other random objects were around. Soon enough, we got bored of that, and started exploring more exotic places. Namely my forehead. With a good thwack, I stuck it loud and proud as a glorious silicone unicorn horn, and took some fun pictures for posterity. After a few minutes of good wholehearted laughter and enough dicking around, it was time to move on. What I failed to realize was that I might have stuck it a little too hard to my forehead, and it didn't come off with a quick tug. A few pulls later, and my second penis was still gripped to my face. After enough work to make a plumber proud, I managed to yank it off. Some more laughs and we were done. Later, after my GF got a good look at my face, she paused and told me to look in a mirror. I came face to face with the consequences of my actions, the plunging of my forehead. The incredible suction paired with many tugs at the skin, left a sizable bruise on my forehead, about the size of 2 quarters. I've spent today hiding away from my roommate, and leaving my hair down. I can never go outside again, lest my shame consume me. TL, doctor stuck a dildo on my forehead, and sucked my third eye open. Edit, the unicorn in all its glory, the aftermath edit 2, I wish I was Tom Scott, but he has much nicer hair than I do. Red shirt is just a coincidence. Or is it? Our next post is by Smell My Weird Spiders. It's one of the outright stupidest fucking things I've ever done, and hopefully the dumbest shit you'll read today. Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, my friend and I were looking to get some dinner, and we decided that Red Lobster would be good. I don't really watch my diet like I should, and we hadn't been there in about a year, so we placed our order, and went to pick it up curbside. Once we'd gotten it, we elected to eat in the car. I got lobster Alfredo, and it was delicious. Everything was fine, and I went to bed a few hours later. I woke up suddenly at around 3 a.m, struggling desperately to breathe. I was hacking and choking, wheezing, and coughing up thick yellowish liquid. I felt like I was going to die. A tiny light in my mind clicked on. This feels a lot like when I was in the IQ last winter. A second, dimmer light slowly warmed to a glow. I was in the IQ with atrial fibrillation W/RVR, cardiomyopathy, pulmonary edema, and aspiration pneumonia. After a little while, as I got back to where I could breathe somewhat normally again, it still hurt, and took a lot of effort, the third tiny light in my mind sputtered to life, and I finally remembered what should have been the most obvious fucking thing all along. I have congestive heart failure. My lobster Alfredo had like 5,000 milligrams of sodium in it. Sodium is a huge no-no for people with heart conditions. TLDR, I totally didn't connect the dots, and realize that my meal was exactly what I should not eat, because it's loaded with salt, and I have a serious heart condition also, other than the 3 or so days of chest pain, extremely dangerous. After it happened, I feel pretty normal. I have not been to the cardiologist yet, but I do have an appointment coming up. They take forever to get. This will be my third in like 7 months, and the last one was only a phone call. Edit, those with knowledge, tell me that the S doesn't mean that it's a small fuck up, it means it's a short post. Edit 2, thank you all for your kind and terrible words. Edit 3, Red Lobster is an American chain seafood restaurant. Our next post is by Juosabarksks420. So this happened yesterday morning, not today. Sorry for formatting, on mobile. I'm still feeling like shit, and I'm so sore. So Tuesday night we decided to have some drinks, since we both had Canada Day off we figured we'd have a day to deal with our hangovers, before heading back to work for the rest of the week. Now fast forward a few hours, we decide to get a little freaky. Well, more than just a little haha. One thing leads to another and my man has his whole hand up in my business. I will say I had a great orgasm, but I was surprised and just how much I soaked the sheet. And how it still seemed to be soaking the sheet. Then I realize I hadn't squirted, I had bled everywhere. And was still bleeding everywhere. So naturally I get up out of bed, throw on a robe and run to the bathroom to shower. I thought it just kickstarted my period, it's happened before, well the bleeding just did not stop. And it wasn't a little blood, I can deal with that. I started worrying I was going to bleed out. I couldn't move without more blood gushing out, so I threw a towel around myself, and called our friend in. I may have scarred that poor guy cause he took one look, and told my boyfriend to call an ambulance. I soaked through that towel before the paramedics arrived. Soaked through another one getting onto the stretcher, and bled all down the hallway to the elevator. I'd never been in an ambulance before, so the paramedic congratulated me. Sat in the hospital for like 4 hours before finding out that I had a vaginal laceration and would need stitches. So first time in an operating room as well. So that's how I spent my Canada day, and now I can't have sex for 6 weeks. TL, doctor, I let my boyfriend fist me, and he tore a hole in my vagina. Reddit, thank you for the Take My Energy award. Edit 2, wow, thank you for the gold. I didn't realize this would blow up, like it did, haha. Our next post is by GNDRLSS1. My kid is stubborn as shit. He's 3. He's his own boss. Anyone who has encountered a toddler knows that they give absolutely zero fucks. My son? Pretty sure that kid gives less than zero, if that's even possible. About 6 months ago, he started showing signs that he wanted to potty train. So we started by just putting him on the potty every 30 minutes. No luck. We tried the oh crap method. Nope, didn't stick. Tried waiting a month and trying again. Nope. We googled a shitload of potty training tricks that didn't help. We went to our super chill pediatrician who said he was probably ready and gave us some ideas, and nothing worked. My son, mind you, is a fucking beast of a child and most people think he is 5. He has outgrown the kind of diapers you can buy at normal stores, and we have to special order larger sizes that are expensive as fuck. So we had some motivation to potty train, although we didn't want to force him. 2 weeks ago, I take him back to the pediatrician, who asks about how potty training is going. I just looked up and said it's not fucking good, dude. Maybe, son, is not ready yet. We might just wait a little longer. The pediatrician was like, well, you do you. If the little shit isn't ready, then he's not ready. But hey, there's one thing y'all haven't tried yet. I know what's coming. Hey, listen, I know you're trying to help, but I'm reading that giving a reward for using the potty is not cool, and he goes, I know, but listen, you tried literally everything else, and your bitch ass kid still isn't using the potty. I promise it's okay, just give it a try. I may be paraphrasing a bit here, so I go to Walmart and buy a pack of 250 gold star stickers. This fucking kid loves stickers. I'm not happy about it, but this is probably going to work, and I really don't want to keep buying those diapers. I come home, and I figure I gotta model this shit, so he knows what's up. So I take him to the potty with me, do my business, and then I start cheering and clapping, like, yeah son, I use the toilet, now I get a dope AF sticker. So I go get myself a sick gold star sticker, and put it right on my fucking forehead like, haha, look at my sticker, you little shit. This kid gets all wide-eyed, and I swear he started vibrating at the speed of sound, like I want a sticker, and I'm like, yeah, I got it. This shit is gonna work. So right away he starts trying to use the potty. This is fucking great. First day he only has one accident. He actually uses the potty. I'm thinking, YTF did I not do this shit sooner? By day 3 this kid is a pro. Every time he uses the potty, he gets a sticker. Sounds great, right? So then I start noticing that he's peeing in small spurts. Like, just a little dribble. And way more frequently. I'm still giving him the stickers, because shit, this kid is using the toilet and I like that, but I'm a little concerned that maybe he's got a UTI or something. He's acting all happy, because we are cheering him on about using the toilet and he's getting his stickers. I call the pediatrician who has us collect a sample and all that. We send it out, and it's all normal, but this kid is still only doing a little at a time. I ask if we can test it again, comes out normal a second time. This kid is still happy as a damn clam cause he's got all these stickers. And then I realize. The stickers. This little shit has been stopping himself mid-tinkle, so he can get a sticker, and then going back and doing it again, also he can get a shitload of stickers. I realize that this kid had extorted us out of the whole fucking pack of stickers in a matter of 8 days. He's a sticker-loving genius. There are stickers everywhere. This kid's got a golden sphincter gifted to him by the gods. Holy shit, even just thinking about the level of sheer dedication required to stop yourself mid-piss multiple times per day, all for some goddamn potty stickers. I'm blown away. This kid is going to rule the world one day. T. TL. Doctor, my son has infinite willpower and taught himself to stop mid-pee so he could extort stickers out of us. Edit. Wow. Thanks for the golden advice. Yeah, we realized that a huge part of our fuck up here is the constant rewarding every time, hence, Tifu, and we'll be trying out some of the suggestions. We are so grateful. Edit 2. Nobody in the story actually for real swears at my children, myself included. Our next post is by deleted. Well, now that everything is settled, I'm deleting this post and moving on with life. This was fun. Our next post is by bro42. Yesterday, I was looking on my phone at some videos of my kid when he was a baby and getting a good chuckle out of them. My wife asked what I was giggling about, and I told her. She started sending me some of her old pictures and videos, and we shared them with my preschooler together. It was cute, family fun. Last night, after we put our child down, I went upstairs to bed, and my wife stayed up downstairs to do a Zoom with some of her girlfriends. As a married man of more than a decade, I took this rare opportunity for some alone time to play a little game I like to call Beat the Clock, which is where I take an Ambien and try to see if I can finish rubbing one out before I fall asleep. So far, I'm undefeated. In the midst of this, my wife texted me, "Why don't you share some of those videos with me?" In my semi-lucid state, I thought she might have had a bit of wine and was interested in some sexy time. I was so excited, I immediately sent her the Pornhub link to the video I was watching right then. I suddenly hear her yell, "What the fuck?" from downstairs. She runs up the stairs, bursting into our room with a furious, "What is wrong with you?" I almost showed that to my friends. I just stared at her, mouth agape, pants askew. Of course, what she actually meant was for me to send her videos of our child being cute. What she got was not that. One very confusing conversation later, we both walked away disappointed, and we have each now have some new material to go over with our individual therapists about. TL, drive. My wife asked me to send her pictures of our toddler to share with her friends, and I sent her hardcore pornography. Our next post is by Loki Boki. So this happened a few days ago. I'm a night owl and my husband is an early bird, so most of the time our intimacy moments fall in the early mornings. But because it was so early, when I went to bed, I just got prepared. My intention was not to wake him up, but I wanted to be ready if he chose to pursue. Well, it did not happen, and since I had a bus, I drifted off to sleep. My intention was to get up and remove it before I went to sleep, but as the title says, that did not happen. I woke up roughly 4 hours after being asleep and remembered it was back there, so I reached around back to get it out, and when I felt nothing, my eyes popped wide open. I was fully awake. I got up and searched the covers, searched around the bed in case it fell, checked again inside of me, and nothing. I panic and I'll call my husband at work, and he was like, "It is a bit busy, is everything okay?" And I'm like, "No." I went to sleep with the bed plug and now I can't find it anywhere. He was like, "What? Let me call you right back," I'm assuming, because he wanted to go into the break room for privacy. As I was waiting for him to call me back, I was like, "Well, let me go sit on the toilet right quick." After a few pushes, I hear a clink, and I was so relieved, because I did not want to be one of those dumbass people that had to go to the hospital because they got something stuck up their butt. When he called me back, I told him what happened. Everything was safe now. He busted out laughing. I told him it wasn't funny because I was really stressing. He said if it was still in there, I wouldn't have been laughing. Later that day, after he gets off of work, he asked me if any zucchinis have cayman in my garden. I told him no, but I have some cucumbers coming in. He said, and I quote, "You're not going to lose them, are you? F that a asterisk asterisk asterisk. I don't use food for that stuff." TL, Dr. Tifu, by going to sleep with a bed plug for about 4 hours. Couldn't find it. When I woke up, went to the bathroom, and after a few pushes, heard a clink in the toilet. Edit. I'm so elated to receive my first award, the hot dog award. Thank you, kind stranger. Our next post is by I Hate Monkeys Sobbard. Well, not much more is needed here, title says most of it. It's my last day of vacation, so I decided to get up early and get the last of my errands done before heading back to work. I grab a pair of shorts out of the dryer, an old pair of cargos where the back pocket flaps are all beat up and crusty from being washed a million times, and are stuck in the up position exposing the Velcro squares that are supposed to hold them down. I get dressed, head out while my wife and kids are still laying around on the couch and hit all my stops over the next 4 hours or so. Home Depot, the plant nursery, Walgreens, gas station, Costco, etc. My final stop is the pizzeria to pick up lunch and head home. I get back, and I'm at the sink washing my hands and I suddenly hear my wife bust out laughing. "Dude, my underwear is stuck to your ass." I reach behind to my right pocket wallet side, nothing. Other side I reach around the left and sure enough my fingers feel the touch of lacy fabric clinging to the Velcro square on my left ass cheek. I had been walking around like that for like 4 hours. I thought I felt something when I was sitting in the car, but I just assumed it was the mangled pocket flap I was sitting on, and of course that little fucker managed to stay on with me getting in and out of that car like 12 times. I can't get 2 feet without dropping something or losing something, but yeah, my wife's lacy black panties with the roses on it managed to cling to my ass for dear life for a 4 hour of the neighborhood. To be honest, I don't really care about it all that much, but my wife is never gonna let me hear the end of this. Friends, do a guy a solid, if you see him with a pair of panties hanging off his ass, tell him. TL, doctor, grabbed an old pair of shorts out of the dryer, didn't see my wife's undies were stuck to it, and hit the stores like that for 4 hours. Our next post is by Sanders38. Like a lot of aging parents, mine have a limited knowledge of technology beyond smartphones. I recently built them a new PC and installed a Plex server. My mother loves to give me lists of movies for downloading, and she marvels at how I can log in from anywhere to help. So today I woke up early, made a coffee, jumped on my home PC, and decided my first task was to set up a few downloads for mum. Now I know dad gets up in the morning as his body clock is stuck on 30 plus years of early starts, but very rarely have I ever logged in with TeamViewer and disturbed him using the PC. Today I did just that. I double-clicked on their PC in my list, took a sip of my coffee, and was greeted with extreme sounds of sex moaning and ball slapping. The volume on my speakers was quite loud. It caught me by surprise as I clambered to turn it down whilst spilling my coffee everywhere. I raced my cursor to the disconnect button as the sight of a hardcore gangbang filled my screen. Hopefully dad would be too distracted to notice. As I moved the cursor quickly to the X, the cursor moved back to the middle of the screen. Shit. He noticed and reached for the mouse as well. I quickly closed the connection, sat back in my chair, and realized that I had just busted my father watching hardcore porn. Now I know where I get that from. Thanks, dad. TLDR. I used TeamViewer to remote into my parents' PC and busted my dad watching hardcore porn. Update, I have not confronted dad, but my brother and I were discussing this morning's events over a few ales tonight. Halfway through reading these comments, my brother started pissing himself laughing out of nowhere. Turns out dad is actually off work for 2 weeks for damaged tendons in his hand. That was it, L, I fucking lost it. Our next post is by MR_Miles_. This might be the most cursed thing to ever happen to me. So after reading the original TIFO and the one after where people lose their shit upon learning about Bob Ross' death, I thought it would be a great idea to tell my grandpa about these two stories to make him laugh. Luckily, he had known about his death already, and he started busting out laughing. But then as I got up to tell grandma, he stopped dead in his tracks and sternly told me never to tell grandma that story. Visibly concerned, I asked him why not. He then went on to confess how many times he's cheated on his wife, using the excuse that he'd been hanging out with Bob Ross for painting lessons. Only problem is that he'd been dead for about 2 years the last time he pulled this on her. Let's just say I see my grandpops in an entirely different light now. He did compensate me with $50, but I definitely deserve a lot more for that kind of mental scarring. TL, doctor, told my grandpa a Reddit story, found out he's a dirty cheater. Came out $50 richer, would not do it again. Edit, people are saying they would like to tell their close ones about these stories. To that I say, more power to you. I just hope you don't ruin someone's day, or your own. Our next post is by plump_alon_monk. Background, my wife is Hindu, born in New Delhi, but moved to the UK when she was 9, but also the swastika is a religious symbol for Hindus. Story, on Diwali, a Hindu religious holiday, she puts swastika symbols above door frames within the house, along with an image of the god her family worship, hoping to bring prosperity for the next year. So last Diwali, a Jamaican work colleague came to my home to pick up a mountain bike she wanted to borrow for her son, who needed it to go on a school trip. When she arrived, I asked her if she wanted to come in for a drink, tea/coffee, which is normal to do in the UK. When she walked into the house, she suddenly looked terrified and started to talk fast, like she was nervous. It didn't click to me why all of a sudden she left without the bike or a cup of tea. I text her to ask if she was okay, but got no response. 30 minutes after she left, it clicked. Imagine what she must have thought entering the home of her 200 ib, 5 minutes and 10 seconds white, bald, tattered work colleague, who she knows boxes, and seeing his house full of swastikas. All while he's smiling at her, and asking her if she wants a drink. Not sinister at all. In hindsight, I should have given her a warning of what to expect when she got there. Aftermath, can I just say that the next day at work was awkward. Edit 1, because you're all asking for what happened next, here it is. I sent her a text a few hours later to explain that what she seen in the house was due to my wife's Diwali celebration and we were not celebrating Nazi Christmas. I explained the difference between the symbol in my house and the Nazi symbol. When I eventually talked to her the next day, she said she understood, but went to her neighbor, who is Muslim and from Pakistan, who confirmed what I said. She also checked Google, so she did understand. She now calls me her little Joseph, as in Goebbels, as a term of endearment, and because she has a wicked sense of humor. There seem to be a lot of people taking my post too seriously. It's a funny thing that happened to me, and I'm sharing it to give you all a laugh. Just because you know the difference between the Indian and Nazi symbol does not mean everyone else does, and my colleague definitely didn't. I guess what I'm trying to say is, my story isn't a dick, so there's no need to take it so hard. TL, Dr. Jamaican work colleague walks into my house full of swastikas. Our next post is by LordD3RBY123. So this happened yesterday night. I've been back in my small hometown for the past few months, since the pandemic started. I've gotten extremely bored, so I thought I'd install Tinder. A few days go by, and I get a match with this girl, let's call her Q. We text about 4 messages, move over to Instagram, and talk for a few more messages, after which I start jokingly flirting about her coming over that night. I didn't mean it as an invitation. Q starts bragging about giving great head, about how much she missed having wild sex, and how much she wanted to fuck. I play along, and flirt right back, and didn't really give it much thought, and go back to my remote work. Around 1 a.m, while I was still working, I get a text from her, "I'm in the area, I will be at your apartment in 10 minutes. I laugh and text back, "Yeah, so yeah." Now let me be clear, I never sincerely expected a girl to come from the other side of the town to a stranger's house to get fucked. Yet she is actually at my apartment. What do I do? The room's messy, I'm extremely tired, and I'm in my freaking pajamas. I play along and just say, "Fuck it, we'll work it out." She comes into my house, she's nothing like what I expected from all of her photos. Q takes a smoke, and starting being extremely loud, and talking about the last TV series she watched. Her entire personality and look is the exact opposite of what I have been led to believe. Now I had a problem, a female problem inside my house. Since she came all the way over to my house, I tell myself, let's at least have some wild sex. So I start trying to flirt, get touchy, and be playful, but she responds to none of my advances. She actually blurts out, "Just so you know, I didn't intend to be having sex." So now I have a female problem which doesn't want to have sex, but neither does she respond to my subtleties of her having to leave, so I play the ugly card, being rude. I start chipping away at every single detail I could think of, that I could make a rude remark about regarding her body and personality, yet she actually starts talking more and more. And so it kept going for an hour and a half, me literally lying down in my bed, and being half asleep, her talking her lungs out and neither of us getting sexed. I think I started my wristwatch for about 15 minutes, until she actually felt that she wasn't wanted, and finally decided to leave. I deleted Tinder after that. TLDR, got a match on Tinder, the girl actually came over while I didn't expect her to. We didn't have sex, but she didn't feel like leaving either, so I spent 2 hours trying to get her to leave. Our next post is by Throwaway69420. Throwaway because some people know my account. Gross warning. So the world is in a shitty place, we all know that. What's one way to be considerate of others? Wear a face mask. I'm not here to debate masks or anything else, so please don't start. Most of my family understands this, except for my cousins. And usually I just avoid them, but for 4th of July they agreed to have a backquote social distanced hangout, in order to come see my grandparents. I've been taking care of them, and I've been super careful, because of their age, so I was against it, but they swore up and down they would be careful. I shouldn't have believed them. They show up to the house not wearing masks. I politely ask them to put them on. They roll their eyes and agree. Great start. We agreed on no hugging between people who weren't quarantined with each other, so the greeting was awkward but that's fine. The day goes on mostly without incident. We're all day drinking. I made myself this watermelon lime margarita, that I usually save for holidays and such, because it can fuck me right up. The family requests it, I make more. And now that everyone is drinking, my cousins decide now is a good time to try to hug the grandparents. I get in between them, saying that it's not okay. That we agree to not touch, that if we are not wearing masks outside we have to be 6 feet, etc. They start to mimic me, and try to get into my space and everything is just too much for me, I'm so angry and so drunk. One of my cousins says something about bodily fluids not being gross, if your family or something. I was drunk Hulk already at this point, so I don't exactly remember. But for some reason I took it as a challenge. I made direct eye contact. Stuck my finger down my throat. And vomited on my cousin. It all happened so fast, and I felt so much better in so many ways. But once everyone realized exactly what had happened, it turned into a frenzy. I was getting screamed at, my cousin was screaming, I'm pretty sure my grandma was laughing. It was crazy. My cousins went home, before we got a chance to see the fireworks. TL, doctor, anti-mask cousin got vomited on by a drunk me. Our next post is by CathGrad98. This morning, I got home after my night shift, and I was fucking exhausted. I immediately went to have a shower then went downstairs into the lounge, to lay on the sofa watching TV in my towel. I must have gotten too comfortable, because I woke up a couple of hours later with a blanket over me, and the TV turned off. There was a post-it note stuck to the blanket saying figured you wouldn't want to and seeing you like this, so I put a blanket over you. Hope you don't mind, Nick. For the record, Nick is my 14-year-old. Eoin is 6. I pulled off the blanket, to see what he was talking about. Then it clicked. The towel had come undone slightly as I slept. My boobs were still covered, but my lower half was completely exposed. Not to mention, I was sleeping facing the doorway. Knowing Nick's routine, the poor lad probably bought himself some cereal, and walked into the lounge, to find his half-naked mum sprawled out across the sofa with her vagina on display. He must have been so embarrassed. This, in turn, makes me feel deeply embarrassed. At the same time though, I'm extremely proud of him for the way he handled the situation, especially for a 14-year-old. It would have been so easy for him to just leave me there until Ian found me. He was probably too embarrassed to wake me or adjust my towel, so he decided to cover me with a blanket. Now I don't know what to do. I mean, I know that he saw me, and he knows that I know that he saw me, so I feel like I should thank him. But I don't know if that would just make things awkward. Like, hey, son. Thank you for covering your mother's kitten so that your brother wouldn't see. I appreciate it. TL, doctor went for a lay down on the sofa in my towel after getting back from a night shift. Woke up hours later to find that my son found me half naked with my vagina on display and covered me with a blanket to make sure his little brother didn't see what he saw. Our next post is by Unicla Hobo. Today I went to my local bakery slash cafe to get cupcakes with my kids. You can sit inside. Point we got our food and sat down to eat. In this bakery they decorate most of their products in the open. Point I noticed they were adding question marks to a big white cake. I asked the bakers if they were decorating a gender reveal cake. They told me that they were. I asked what the gender was. They told me it was a little girl, so they put pink frosting on the inside. I was also told that the mother was coming soon to pick up the cake. About 25 minutes later my children and I left the bakery and started walking towards our car when I noticed a very pregnant woman heading towards the bakery. Realizing that the cake was for her, I said, "Oh, you are the one having the little girl. Congratulations." She looked surprised, but at the moment I didn't think much about it. I got into the car and drove home. We were halfway home before I realized I might have ruined the surprise. Oops, I hope she already knew. TL, drive. I told a pregnant woman the gender before the gender reveal party. Our next post is by K. Chiles. I'm F. dying right now. If there was a massive fiery hole near me, I'd jump in. So the builders are doing some work on our building. He knocks on the door. I answer, my usual friendly self, say back quote come on in, and offer a handshake, to which he obliges. All good, happy happy. I'm in Australia, so COVID is still an issue, but nowhere near the US levels of fuckedness. So I say joking, shit, we really are not meant to be shaking hands, are we, hardy haha. He responds back quote nah, we are all good now, things are definitely calming down on that front, what do I say? Back quote I guess it would be safer to just fist me, that's what everyone else is doing. The bird stopped singing. Any traffic outside came to a halt. My guts started to retch. The poor man just laughed and commented that he'd need to come back with a bigger ladder. I'm fucking mortified right now. I won't sleep tonight. TL, doctor, asked a builder if he'd like to fist me instead of shaking hands. Our next post is by Jmotto. This isn't exciting. Maybe borderline sad, but I live alone in a tiny kneecapped, work a wildly stressful low-paying sales job and quarantine hit right as I was polishing my resume and making plans to move in with my BFFs, all late 20s, single and figure it's probably our last chance to live together again. Then Rona hits the city and I'm sick and then healthy. Working like crazy. Crying in between calls. I have seen small groups of social distanced friends and let me tell ya, I've never been more grateful for parks. So today, I had a nice long cry after an intense call with my boss, in his head has being inspirational, and in my head I hear you suck. I hung up and thought, what will make me feel better? I just want a hug. Just one nice long hug. So now I'm crying hugging my pillow. TL, doctor, live alone, we're in quarantine. I need a hug. Our next post is by Deep Friedaria Sahi. This happened a couple of days ago. Since quarantine started, my GF started cooking a lot more. We used to be the type to eat out, get takeout, rely on leftovers our moms gave us, etc. I saw a video recipe to make corn dogs, one of our favorites, and it looked easy. I showed it to my GF and asked her to try it. She's never deep-fried anything before, but she made it anyways. It turned out really good. She was surprised by how easy and good it was. So good, in fact, she began deep-frying everything in our kitchen. Steamed dumplings turned into fried dumplings. Baked chicken turned into fried chicken. Tofu stew turned into fried tofu. Oreos with milk turned into deep-fried Oreos. Pancakes turned into funnel cake. Avocado toast turned into deep-fried avocado. Anyways, there's more, but you get the drill. She's been introduced to a new world and turned into a deep-frying maniac. It's all very delicious, so I can't stop myself from eating it either. I've gained the most weight in a couple days than I've gained in all of quarantine. TL, doctor, I told my GF to make corn dogs. She was shocked by how easy deep frying food is. She is now deep frying everything, and I'm getting fat. Our next post is by Cronchick Ronch. Well, the title just about says it all. I woke up pretty late, and when I wandered into the kitchen I saw my GF had cake ingredients on the counter. Up to this point I still haven't said a word, only shot a loving smile to her when we made eye contact. I went to grab a drink, but I'm distracted when she pulls open the oven and bends over to check if her cake layers are done. Now I still haven't spoken, and I'm definitely still in that barely awake phase, but she's wearing some nice pajama booty shorts, and my brain is just like, slap that. So she's leaning over poking her cake with a metal stick, or whatever, when I slap her butt. In my opinion it was a gentle, hey, but apparently not, because she stumbled forward just enough to bump into the open oven door and catch herself on the metal oven rack. So now I'm awake, but still haven't spoken, and my GF is wide-eyed and about to cry, and so I start repeatedly apologizing, but she immediately pushed me out of her way and went to our room, door locked behind her, oven still open. She did come out later, and the burn wasn't too bad. We went to a clinic the next day, and it was no big deal, but it still looks pretty nasty and acts as a constant reminder for her of the time I wandered out of bed just to slap her ass into the oven. TL, doctor, I slapped my GF's ass when she was checking on her cake and accidentally made her burn herself on the oven rack. Our next post is by VampirePR0N. Throwaway because yay, lots of people know my main. So I have a few kinks. Nothing too out there. I have a blowjob fetish, I like it rough. I love when my husband grabs my head out of the blue and just shoves me down there. Like I said, not too out there, and if it keeps our sex life satisfying and happy after 12 years of marriage, I consider it a win. Husband has a few things of his own. He's kind of a lights off type, and tends to be hornier when waking up in the middle of the night. All good by me. That brings us to the event acca, why I just got home from the emergency room, which was packed with fireworks mishaps, even though they are illegal in my state. Yesterday was, of course, America's birthday. We weren't feeling super patriotic or anything, but hey. Any excuse to celebrate in this fucked up world, am I right? We live not far from a big city with a major fireworks display that was amazingly still happening despite the pandemic. Rather than risk infection, we got some beer and tacos and headed up to the roof to watch. Great time had by all, got drunk, stayed up there talking and laughing until the wee hours of the morning, when we decided to pack it in. Get back inside, and husband is feeling amorous. Guess he wanted to pack it in, haha. Anyway, it's dark and we are both beyond tipsy, but that's okay. I'm way into it by the time he grabs my hair and directs me eagerly towards Captain Happy, already standing at attention. Here's part one of my fuck up. I want to stress that this is not unusual for us at all. A bi-weekly occurrence, at least. Over the 14 years we've been together, it adds up. Perfect track record of zero injuries. No reason to be extra cautious or anything. So he shoves my head down, and I guess I hit a weird angle or something, because there's a visible flare in front of my face, yay fireworks, and a sharp pain in my mouth. Right under my tongue. You probably think you know where this is going, and maybe you do, but stay tuned. So sharp pain, yeah. but I'm kinda drunk and really into it, so I decide it's nothing. No big deal. I tasted a little blood, but it wasn't gushing or anything. I knew if I mentioned it to dear husband, that he'd stop immediately. I love that man to death, in part because he's so sensitive and caring, but I do know from the great vampire pronoun hits a head on the headboard really hard incident of 2016, among a few others, normal, minor stuff, that hurting me at all, even accidentally, would instantly kill the mood for him, and, frankly, I want to get my rocks off at this point. So I say nothing, and keep on chowing down. Our typical formula is blowjob, and GT, piv and GT, blowjob. Perfect for both of us. So we transition to piv, and he is just on top of his game, seriously. Two orgasms later, and my mouth is still painful, but I'm in happy town, so whatever. We finish as per usual, and I do notice a lot more fluid than normal. I think very little about this as I lie back in post-coital afterglow. Husband gets up, and makes his way to the bathroom to clean up. I see the light flick on beneath the door, and then in his deathly calm serious voice vampire pronoun, "Are you alright?" I turn the lamp on my nightstand on and find myself covered in blood. I mean, full on something out of From Dusk Till Dawn covered. Let it be known that I had a full hysterectomy 6 years ago, so we both instantly know it's not a mistimed period or something. Husband bolts back into the room with the first aid kit just as I shove a wad of Kleenex into my mouth. I explained what happened as I soak through fistful after fistful of tissues. Without room for argument, he helps me get dressed, and we drive to the ER. So now I have 3 stitches and a new embarrassing holiday story. TL, doctor, tore the webbing under my tongue giving head. Didn't stop. Wound up in the air with the kids, who blew their hands off with fireworks. Our next post is by Ilonera. Edit, I'm a woman lol, not that it matters, but a lot of people seem to think I'm a man, probably because I referred to feeling like a dickhead. Oh my god, this sounds awful, but none of this was intentional. I was at a local park with my 4-year-old son, and he and some other kid were playing a game where they would try to sneak up on me, while I sat on the park bench. Well, one of the times my son turned his back on me, I jumped up from the bench, and behind a nearby tree, and I was planning on jumping out, and scaring them, when they got close. Fun times. Well, my son turned around, looked around for like half a second, and didn't seem fazed in the slightest. He's a pretty chill kid, so he just walks off with his little friend to the jungle gym. So I'm no longer hiding behind the tree, but leaning up against the side of it instead of sitting back down on the bench. Now shortly after my son walks away out, if my view into the jungle gym slash slides area, I start to hear crying, but I do not recognize it as my own child's crying. It honestly sounded like a younger child, and this place was full of kids younger than mine. Well, like 5 to 6 minutes go by, and then my son walks out from behind the jungle gym slash slides area absolutely bawling, and frantically looking around. I run over to him like, holy shit, what's wrong? I thought he got hurt or something, and he says, I thought you left me here, and I realize that the crying I'd been hearing was him, and I didn't recognize it, because I had never up to this point had to hear the cries my child makes out of absolute terror. He also says, I can't find the car, I think somebody stole it, we just got a new car. So I guess he had been in the other side of the slides looking at the parking lot, crying his little eyes out, not seeing the car he's used to, not seeing me on the bench I was sitting at, and concluded that I had left him at the park. I think I traumatized my child. Poor baby would not allow me to put him down for like a full 10 minutes. I feel like such a dick. TL, doctor, I tried to join in on a game with my son and his buddy, but I fucked up by making my son think I abandoned him at the park. Our next post is by Afrodizzy25. As have many of us, I have been living at my parents' house for the last few months. I'm a 29-year-old woman, and luckily the reacclimatization into the family bosom was helped by the fact that they have a backquote granny annex that is usually let out on Airbnb. But, opening rules are opening rules, and my fam were very keen to get their Airbnb cash flow going again, so out I go back to normality. I was in between houses anyway, so I've got most of my stuff with me in this studio apartment, so I'm traveling with things I wouldn't normally travel with. My dad offered to help me move, and mostly I'm just shoving my belongings into IKEA duffel bags to unpack in the new place. He's always been very respectful of my space, always knocks and waits to be invited in, and gives warning when he's coming up the stairs. I've always thought it was sweet, but a little over the top. I'm not a teenage boy, if you know what I mean. But, well, maybe he was on autopilot helping carry things. Just 15 minutes ago he sees me packing a headrear and says, "I think that belongs here," and taking it from my hand, he walks over to the dresser. I can see what's happening in slow motion and I call out across the room, "The right hand drawer, Dad, the right one." But no, he pulls open the left hand drawer, where the headrear usually lives, but in the last 3 months my underwear and my pocket-sized vibrator have been sitting. He's cool, he pretends he didn't see anything. Closes the drawer, puts the headrear into the other one and moves on. Mum had brought over a basket for the bedding to go into. So he starts stripping the pillowcases. He then sees the corner of a cardboard box sticking out from under the bed. Again, autopilot, surely. For some unbeknownst reason he decides to lean down and start pulling it out. This time I shouted, "Dad, stop." I'm horrified. He pulls it halfway out before his brain registers what I'm saying, and his eyes register part of what he's seen. He pulled it out just far enough to see a bottle of lube. At this point I shove a full basket into his hand saying, "Thanks, I'll do the rest on my own." And he leaves. We both pretend he saw nothing. I'm dying. The only consolation here is that if it had come out any further he'd have seen a bright pink rampant rabbit. I can never go home again. TLDR, Dad help me, 29, F, move. Saw not only a vibrator, but also a bottle of lube. I'm dead. Our next post is by alala_sand/. Ever since COVID-19 got really bad in the US, I've been washing my hands more often and using more soap. I thought I was being more sanitary and that was a good thing. The amount of soap and times I wash my hands has steadily been increasing. I was wearing a pair of disposable gloves and my hands were sweating, normal right? When I take the gloves off I notice that my hands are covered in batches of tiny soap bubbles. I've now realized that I've been using so much soap that it's been absorbing into my hands. My hands and wrists have been red and dry these last few months because of using too much soap as well. I'm going to try to cut back on hand washing and soap usage, but I've become slightly germophobic this year. If anyone has any tips to deal with this, I'd love the feedback. TL, doctor, have been using so much soap that when I was wearing plastic gloves I started to sweat soap out of my hands. Our next post is by endline2727. Yesterday, mom asked me to go get my brother and tell him dinner is ready. I figured he's probably on this box and walked straight in. Except he wasn't on this box at all. He was fucking jerking off. I let out something between a whimper and a scream, and averted my eyes. He jumped out of his skin, and pulled the covers up over him. He asked what I wanted, and I told him dinner's ready. He apologized for making things awkward. Then I put my foot in my mouth. No big deal. I just didn't expect it to be so big. I have literally no idea why I said that, but as soon as my brain caught up with my mouth, I turned away and bolted out of there. All I could think was, why? Who says that to their brother? I guess it shouldn't be too surprising. I have a habit of blurting things out when I'm nervous. Needless to say, his ego is now through the roof and he's acting super cocky. TL, doctor walked into his room to fetch him for dinner. He was masturbating. I let out something between a whimper and a scream. He apologized. I told him it was no big deal, and that the size of his cock just gave me a shock. I immediately regretted saying it, and now it's gone to his head. Edit, just to clarify, I'm a girl. Our last post is by Sten Zero. Background, So I have two identical Acer laptops. One of them is like new and works great. Go Acer. Now the other one's battery went dead a few months ago. And when the time came to get a new battery, I decided to buy a gently used one off of eBay. After I installed it, the laptop worked okay as long as I didn't leave it charging for too long. Sometime later, so I was running late for work, like every morning, and picked up my laptop, charger, power bank and other work related goodies, and packed it all into my backpack. As I speed walk to the bus stop, I get this feeling that I forgot something, but I shrug it off as I'm already late. I get on the bus, sit down next to a fellow traveler, open up my computer, and see that the battery is around 80%, so go ahead and plug it into my power bank and put the two in my pack. This is a 25-minute bus ride, so I pop on my headphones and close my eyes and listen to my music. And about 20 minutes later, I hear a bunch of yelling and smell an awful burning smell. Yeah, you guessed it, my laptop burnt up in my pack. Now this probably wouldn't have been such a big deal if I wasn't a dark-skinned Pakistani male, so the bus stops and everybody is accusing me of having some sort of bomb, and I open up what's left of my pack, show them my smoking laptop, and we all kind of just start laughing. TL, Dr. I mistakenly brought the wrong laptop on a bus, and it caught fire, and luckily no one was hurt. That's it for Edit Reddit. I hope you enjoyed. Please leave a good rating, as that really helps me out.